GUI Nights.
Hey, what's up, you sexy motherfuckers? This is Lowdown Brown, and welcome to another episode of GUI Nights.
GUI Nights.
Yeah. We've already talked. We already told you what it's about. If you don't know by this point, you're just not in the loop. Sorry. kind of like the regular GUI, but just a little bit better.
And sexier.
Always sexier.
We
keep it 100 on the sexy.
It's a little darker, right?
I mean, because I'm hosting, yes.
It's Well done.
Yeah.
It's like the HBO series Confessions of a Call Girl, but as a podcast with chubby men.
I get that. Consider myself more of a Rocko's Modern Life character where I'm a sex worker on the phone.
You know? Okay.
Did you say Rocko's Modern Life?
Yeah, he was a sex worker. You didn't notice the posters behind him? It was like sex like call numbers and shit.
The cartoon?
Yeah, because the 90s were a weird and wonderful era. Yeah.
God damn.
Dude, he worked for a sex call line. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And his friend worked for the Chokey Chicken. Yeah. So go figure.
Yeah.
Nice.
Revelations.
Knowledge.
On this episode, we talk about sex in children's cartoons.
I mean, we have Ren and Stimpy too. Fuck.
Yeah.
Come on.
Absolutely. Or fucking Pepe Le Pew the rapist.
Oh, shit. Just like,
I don't like it. I don't like it.
the Harvey Weinstein of cartoons.
No, sir. I don't
Pepe
like
Le
it.
Pew.
Yeah. But tonight, we're not talking about rapists.
No. That'd be a terrible episode.
It would be a horrible episode.
That'd be awful.
We are going to talk about our favorite gunfights in cinema.
We just did John Wick.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, that's got some pretty significant gunfights in it.
It's hard to beat that. We got to not think about John Wick during this episode, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got to think about just like redunculous, like over the top, whatever your favorite legit, like fun favorite gunfight is.
Actually, I have one that is kind of an outside the box one because a lot of it is them missing, but I really liked it. It was a very close quarters fight. It was the assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford.
Oh, dude.
And it was in the room scene where they're shooting at each other, but these are old guns that aren't exactly accurate, and they're like missing half the time within like 5 or 10 feet of each other. And it was a fucking brilliant gunfight scene that really took into account what these guns were able to do at the time. It was very realistic for that era.
Let me say those guns were accurate enough, but the perfect poignance of that scene is the fact that everyone is scared, everyone is like freaked out, and they're just shooting and they're missing. And I fucking love that movie so much.
It does not get nearly enough appreciation.
Oh,
I can agree with that. Yeah.
That is in my top 5 favorite like alt westerns of all time.
Was that one that Nick Cave did the soundtrack for?
He did.
Okay. With his writing partner
Warren Ellis.
Yeah. Warren Ellis.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw another curveball that I call it a curveball because I don't think enough people have watched it, even though it does have a good following. It's an original Netflix series. It's a badass series, but the last season of this, we're talking Peaky Blinders here, where they set them up in the apartment area, like thinking none of the family's there. Do you remember that? Where they like the family's waiting in different apartments and they set up the guys from New York because the guys from New York's come in the last season.
I haven't seen it, but spoilers, whatever. Spoilers.
I haven't finished that series yet.
Who's fucking fault? Dude, it was been out for like a year and a half.
Dude, I haven't watched Breaking Bad. Like there are some bad choices I've made in my life and I've come to accept them. I wish you would.
But
I mean, I'm fine with it as long as you don't mind people talking about it because it's a year and a half.
No. Continue your point.
So in the fourth season, New York comes over, right? And because they had previously killed some gangsters.
Mm-hmm.
And they come out for the revenge thing. And it's a very slow, suspenseful build. They got Adrian Brody to play the main gangster from New York.
Nice.
He does a killer job. He's a great actor.
His name is Nosy McGillicuddy.
Dude, that nose is real, though. That fucking nose. I wonder how many bitches he's gotten off of that fucking nose.
Oh, he's...
Like,
he's,
seriously.
He's fucked a vagina with that nose. Like, definitely.
He's snorkeling.
Oh.
Hey, go.
There's the name of the episode.
Is that a real thing? Are you just, like, improvising?
My nose is big, but his is long. Like, I don't have that. I don't have that kind
name
of experience.
The episode is sex snorkeling.
Sex snorkeling.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he threatens he's basically threatening the family. And the family owns these, like, not the row houses, but they own an apartment complex. It's like a tri-level, I think, in like downtown area. So they trick them into coming there, but they have everything
with Adrian Brody's nose.
Yeah, they have everything like planned out with family members in certain aspects of like cutoff points and stuff, and they just like unleash on New York, and it was fucking awesome because you don't mess with the fucking Shelbys.
All right,
you need to watch Peaky Blinders if you haven't watched any of it. Peaky Blinders is a damn good show.
I haven't finished the last season, so yeah.
All right. To piggyback on the last Western reference we just did, I have to say the final gunfight scene in Unforgiven is so fucking amazing because it's all about dudes that, like, I mean, you have Clint Eastwood who can hold his own and everybody else is scared. And they can't handle their guns, and he just fucking like does powers the business.
Yeah,
no, he just fucking like shoots all these motherfuckers that are trying to like get their shit together. And it was, and this was a part in the movie that was previously said where, you know, like to win a gunfight, you have to, you know, have your fucking like shit together, you know, whatever.
You have to remain calm. Don't panic.
Yeah. And the end gunfight, oh my God. Fuck.
I mean, going that route, and you know, a couple year difference here, well, a few years difference in filmmaking, same decade though. I mean, you got to go with Tombstone, that final gun scene with Ringo.
Woof.
Oh man.
And fucking
oh
my God. Wyatt Earp. I mean, that shit was just, I mean, it wasn't a huge, it wasn't a massive size gunfight. It was just them, and it was just the dialogue and the where you are mentally in that movie at that point, like, it's fucking awesome.
There were a few in that. There was the where he goes into the river or whatever. No! And, you know, they're like, we witnessed a miracle because that shouldn't have worked.
And then there's the montage when they start Breaking Bad and he's like, tell him hell's coming with me. And he's like shooting on the train station. Like,
right.
Oh, God.
There's OK Corral, of course. OK Corral, obviously. Fantastic.
Of course they had to bring that in. It's fucking Robert,
Yeah. So. Tombstone, man, that's one of those movies that if it's on TV, I'll watch it. Own it, and I will still fucking watch it.
That is still my favorite fucking Western. I can't explain
so
it.
So good.
I love it so much.
Yeah, no, I will say the OK Corral shootout scene is my favorite because there's misfires, there's like people like getting scared, jumping away. Like, I love that shit.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Doesn't Doc Holliday shoot his shotgun in the air to make the horse jump, or he shoots the horse? I forget how that works.
But I think he shot in the air.
He shot in the air.
Yeah, and then the horse jumps, and then he's like, okay, cool, boom.
Yeah.
And then he shot a guy.
Yeah.
Oh, Val Kilmer. It's a great scene.
He ate so much scenery in that movie, and I love every fucking second
of
it.
No shit.
If you're eating more scenery than fucking Kurt Russell in a movie, that's a lot of scenery chewing.
Especially like that era Kurt Russell. Like.
Yeah. Tell him I'm coming, and hell's coming with me.
That's what I'm saying.
Dippa-dippa-doo.
He just kept that mustache for the Hateful Eight. He never shaved. He just kept it and went to Hateful Eight and did like...
He kept it that whole time.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. The whole time.
He was waiting.
Tarantino, he knew Tarantino was going to need a Western guy. And he's just going to go. Speaking of that, has anybody watched the extended edition of fucking Hateful Eight? Because
I
went to look at it on Netflix, and it didn't say movie. It said part one. So they extended it enough where there's four fucking parts, and they're all 50-some minutes long.
Yeah, it's like almost 4 hours.
It's like a goddamn miniseries.
Yep.
Holy shit.
I had the opportunity, and I was lucky enough to see The Hateful Eight in its original roadshow in 70mm.
Yeah, we fucking know.
God damn, that shit was amazing.
I don't want to brag or anything,
Seriously, man.
Well, I mean, I invited all you guys.
No, you did.
You didn't go.
No, you did not. We found out like a day before.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway.
True though,
that fucking movie's amazing.
Absolutely,
it's glorious. That was an awesome gunfight too. Tarantino, any Tarantino gunfight is in the top.
Well, it's close, like in that movie especially, but also in fucking like Reservoir Dogs, it's close quarters, and it's personal.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah. That shit is amazing.
And speaking with Hateful Eight, close quarters, that size of that place was like a fucking studio apartment. It was like a large studio apartment. Yeah. It was tiny, yeah. You know. He shot it well to make it seem bigger, but when you saw like the away views, it was a tiny fucking place.
Yeah, it wasn't a big spot.
It was not a big venue for a gunfight.
We mentioned this movie on the John Wick episode.
Equilibrium. Yeah.
The scene where he throws clips down the hallway that have like the rounded bottoms, and he comes running and just like pops the clips in as he's like firing, and he runs out and he drops the clips and then pops them in, like slides on the floor and pops the clips in as he goes by. It's completely unrealistic,
but it's amazing.
But it is wonderful. And that movie definitely does not try to make it realistic gunfighting.
And you know who else does that in the final boo-wow scene in a movie?
We're talking about what scene?
The boo wow.
The boo wow.
Boo wow. I just created some shit. Don't.
Yeah, I'm proud of you. No, I'm actually just impressed with you right now. Yeah, that's good.
Is fucking Hit Girl in Kick-Ass when she goes down that fucking hallway and she reloads the same way, but she's like a fucking 14-year-old girl
and has that song like yeah, like this hyper manic song playing the shit out of people.
But there are like multiple good gunfight scenes in Kick-Ass.
Yes, that is true. Yeah, that's definitely, and then that's that hyper reality gunfight kind of thing, which I love because they're not trying to make it realistic at all. That's just not the thing.
You mentioned fucking Equilibrium. It was one of my top five favorite picks.
It's a great fuck. I love that movie. Christian Bale, one of his, in my opinion, best films.
The scene where he first encounters the fucking like post-apocalyptic, you know, like whatever soldiers, and he just breaks badass because he doesn't want to like reveal the puppy in his, you know, trunk of his car, and
because that would reveal he hadn't taken his medication,
right?
Exactly.
And that particular scene where he just like goes fucking like gun foo on them is so badass, and I have rewinded that scene and slowed it down so many times because it's just like da 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 da. He just fucking kills motherfuckers. It's so amazing.
And I'm gonna tack on to Grootz's there because everyone can talk about Equilibrium's final gun scene being this orgasmic display, which it was. But that movie, actually, and what I take from it and appreciate more from it is those small stints throughout the movie. There's just small gunplay babbles.
Oh, yeah.
That lead up to that grandiose one. And, like, the smaller ones I enjoyed more than the final battle, personally.
Yeah, I can see that.
For me, watching the movie, I enjoyed those more.
Yeah.
Like, the one you're describing. Like, I know the one you're talking about, where he gets, like, stopped and he's trying, like, to, like, not kill people. And then they just keep pursuing. He's like, all right, well, I gotta murder you. Like, you know.
Right.
You know. But insane gunfights. Let's go with we haven't even brought on Smoking Aces. That's a fucking
Oh my god.
That's that they bring the firepower with that fucking movie, right?
Yes, they do.
I mean, they really do.
Where they're like what they're isn't there like a rocket launcher shot there from is. Another building or something at
there
one
is.
Point?
Yep. And
yeah, that's just those are the kind of movies where they know it's not realistic, it's not dealing with physics at all. It's just gun porn. It's straight
porn.
Up gun porn.
And all the way.
That's what it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be serious. It's not supposed to be taken seriously. It's not supposed to be like, well, that's not how you... he had 32 shots on that clip. Yeah, he probably did, because fucking this movie. know?
Now, the second one was not fun. I will say that.
I never saw the second one.
It was
one.
Not nearly as much
did
fun.
Did not care.
It was a movie that did not need a sequel.
Nope.
Now, we can't talk gunfights without talking about doves. White doves.
Oh, you're talking about John Woo.
Yeah. Let's go. Let's do it.
That was an inspiration for the Smack My Pitch Up logo, where it's dual wielded handguns with my face going bah! On it. Was John Woo, because that was like,
right?
It's the spin gun, like the hard boiled shits, and then the doves, fucking doves. I should have put doves in the Smack My Pitch Up logo as well.
You could always rebrand yourself. It's never too late.
That's true. It's
never
be hard
late.
To throw some doves in the background. So, yeah.
As much as I love John Woo, you know, all of his movies early on, Hong Kong, you know, era, I have to say The Killer is my favorite.
Killer is solid.
Because the church shooting, like, violence scene is so goddamn fucking good. I can't even describe.
You mentioned the church, and that reminded me of another gunfight. Well, one person with a gun from The Kingsman.
Ooh.
The church scene is orgasmic.
Oh.
It's so hyper-kinetic and just fast-paced, but you're seeing every move. The choreography is absolutely fucking stellar.
I am literally
crying laughing.
I'm spent after that scene.
Yeah.
I'm done. I'm like, okay, I'm good for a few hours. Like, I can't.
And even Golden Circle, when they're assaulting the mountaintop lair that they totally missed the mark by it not being inside of a volcano. But, I mean, at this point, you're already on the top of a mountaintop. Just make it a fucking volcano already. Like, don't.
Yeah.
Let's just be real here. But
the Golden Circle missed a few things. Okay?
I'm with you on the original one.
Yeah.
The church shooting scene.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But the suitcase rocket launcher and, like, it in Golden Circle, it's so utterly fucking ridiculous. I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
That was some Moonraker shit.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, it was just being like, fuck it. Let's try it. Let's give it a shot. So good.
Nice.
Another one that I know Groots deeply appreciates, to the point where this is the movie that you put on when setting up your surround sound, because I've been there for two of the places you've moved into when setting up surround sound.
Yes.
And this is probably, if not top of my list, at least in the top three of best gunfight scenes ever, the bank heist scene in Heat.
That movie is so fucking amazing, but that particular scene is perfect for calibrating your surround sound system.
Really,
let me tell you how good that is.
So what, you can hear the bullets fly by you, kind of set
exactly
up?
Yeah. It is. I mean, there's dialogue, there's action, there's gunfighting. That particular scene has been my go-to for three different movie theater experiences that I've had in my life. It is perfect. It is so good.
And that movie alone is fantastic.
It's fucking Heat, man.
The moment where they shake hands at the end.
Oh.
Is like this brilliant, like they have absolute respect for each other. They're like being at the top of their thing they do, and they're
murder.
Yeah, murder, basically. No, but they have absolute respect for each other, and there's a where it shows like this wasn't personal. I actually respect you as a person, but you're on the other side from me, so this is where it is.
And Henry Rollins gets thrown through a window. Yeah. But it's not really him, it's a stuntman, but yeah, whatever. It's
which
funny.
Is surprising, because I figured Henry Rollins would be hard enough to do it himself.
Yeah, well, no.
No, apparently not.
I still love the guy.
No, I just figured he would be hard enough to do his own Jimmy Jams, you know what I'm saying?
But, you know, I understand him not wanting to, like, go through a window.
Also, we talked about Buster Scruggs on
yes,
the
that
on the
gunfight
episode.
Was awesome.
That, yeah, there's some rootin' tootin' shooting that's happening in that.
In the first 10 minutes.
Yeah. So good.
Merge a shed, a few people.
the Texas tit.
But, I mean, that movie is consistent with gunplay. I mean, you've got the Tin Pan man, you know, when he tries to rob the bank with James Franco, and he's like,
"Oh, pan shot,
pan shot." That's it, pan shot,
pan
yeah.
shot.
Fucking dude from Office and
Milton,
Dodgeball,
Milton from yeah. Office Space, yeah.
Pan shot, pan shot,
pan shot. Yeah, and then into the not the next one. What was the next one? Was the brother and sister that had the disease? Like he got like the mumps or something on the way to out whatever. But then the Tom Waits one, there was guns involved in that too.
Yeah. That wasn't really a gun. Well, I guess technically
there was a fight involved. That was some like
it was a fight, and then like Tom Waits got shot, but he was like, "I ain't dead."
He's like, "You ain't in nothing important."
He was so good in that.
That
scene.
That made me so happy. I was like, "I'm so sad that Tom Waits got killed."
And you're like, "No, wait a minute.
Nope,
he's alive."
Now, one thing that actually involves one of the directors from John Wick, the first John Wick movie, at least, is he was originally a stunt double for Keanu Reeves on The Matrix.
Ooh.
One of the,
wait, the director?
The director of,
really?
Of John Wick, yeah.
Wow.
So that's where he got his start as a stuntman. So he's actually Keanu Reeves' stuntman. So that's why they had developed a pretty solid relationship. as far back as the fucking Matrix in what, 99, when that came out. That lobby gunfight scene in the Matrix is absolutely fucking fantastic.
I agree.
Insane and over the top and ridiculous.
It's the Matrix.
And there was even a reference to the Matrix in John Wick, where it was like, what do you need? I need a lot of guns, which was a line from the fucking Matrix.
Yeah.
So
he had a lot of Mrs. Smith to fight.
Yeah.
Matrix.
Yeah.
Perfect.
But yeah. No, I mean, yeah.
You move like they do. I mean, come on. That the bullet time was started in the fucking Matrix. The
Matrix started a lot of shit.
Yeah.
To be real. The Matrix started a lot of shit.
Can we talk for a second about Sergio Leone?
Yes, we can.
Because he set up the perfect, like, gunfight standoff scene in The Good, the Bad,
the Ugly. Yes,
absolutely. I mean, it's been recreated by so many fucking movies,
but never duplicated.
Never duplicated. Recreated.
I mean, definitely the duel scenes were in his first two movies, but like that scene with the music, everyone, like, yeah, exactly.
Ecstasy of gold, like, man.
Standing gold, around. Baby. Oh my god, fucking brilliant.
And people wonder why Metallica still opens up to that goddamn score, because it's fucking amazing. It's like,
it is.
It's epic.
Exactly.
Which we talked at length about that song on our Westerns episode, which was the last episode we dropped in 2017?
No, we did the Westerns in last year, I thought. That was 2018.
I don't know. I think I was on that, right?
Yeah, I feel like it was last year, though.
No, it was in December. So that would have been late 2017.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit. Okay.
Yeah, a while ago. Yeah, whatever.
But I mean, no, that score is like definitive for any.
It really is.
I mean, anything involving Western, guns, anything. Yeah.
But that, like, that trifecta of people that hate each other, that are trying to, like, kill each other, and they're all, it's the ultimate, like, it's not a duel because it's not two people. It's a truel.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, I don't know what to say.
True. You know what gunfight I really thought stood out as a badass gunfight was Back to the Future 3. Not really.
No, but one
joke
that I've talked about this at length before, especially on the audio commentary for the sequel. But Boondock Saints, has some pretty memorable gunfight scenes.
Oh, yeah.
In it, absolutely. And the one that I love is when, you know, they're talking about what happened, and it's Willem Dafoe, there was a firefight, and at one point it's
terrible.
Him firing into the air, like randomly, like firing his fucking gun in the air, which to me, it was the first time I saw the movie, I'm like, bah! Because it was just so overly dramatic for the moment, where it just came off as comedic as fuck.
No, it was. And see, they tried to harp on that in the sequel, which is why the sequel didn't work, because the first one just like did it and didn't know what it was doing.
Yeah,
really. I'm honestly like,
was it Troy Duffy the director? Yeah.
Like no idea.
He made a good movie on accident.
Seriously though, like, that's the realism of it. Like, because the sequel knew it was supposed to be what it was supposed to be, and it was not good.
No, it was fucking terrible.
It was supposed to be a third one.
That's why
the works,
we made
too.
A commentary.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
There was supposed to be a third one, too. I don't know what happened.
No, let's maybe not do that. I
think Norman Reedus is too. Maybe Sean Patrick Flannery can come back, but Norman Reedus is too, for that. he's
Norman Reedus is like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I don't really.
I don't want to hurt my career at this point. I got Walking Dead cred. I'm like the main character now. Rick's gone, bitch.
Yeah, right.
Oh, good gunfights. There have been some solid fucking gunfights in Walking Dead.
That's true.
Fuck, there have been
very
really
true.
Good gunfights in the Walking
when they're
Dead.
Assaulting the fucking headquarters for what's his face? Negan's outpost. Yeah,
where it's just like the outpost where they just like go in and they straight murder everybody.
Yeah,
holy shit.
Oh
yeah, yeah.
Oof.
There have been some serious gunfights in Walking Dead. Yeah, so I'll give him that. So all right, anybody else? Anybody else can think of anything they haven't dropped that's a famous gunfight? Because The Walking Dead just came to my mind talking about.
Oh, there's
going to
be
so.
Like 10 other ones that come to mind the minute that we're done with this episode. I mean,
I know.
I'm going to say one thing. There's an internet video that parodied RoboCop, where RoboCop comes up upon a couple of dudes that are trying to rape a woman. And, it, you know, like in the movie, we saw that. But he shoots the dudes, and then more rapists come out.
What?
And then they have...
Well, that's not a gaggle. Like, what would you call, like, a grouping of rapists?
No, well, it might be a...
I don't want to come up with
that term. No, I don't want to come up with that term. That's not what we need to be known for, is coming up with the plural.
The plural of rapists is probably...
By the way, also not the name of the episode, is the plural of
rapists. It's probably closer to, like, a murder of crows.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I don't know. But this fucking video...
A fuckboy?
...is amazing. And
murder of crows.
And basically,
a fuckboy of rapists.
All right, so the premise is... These two guys come on this girl, you know, they're trying to like rape the girl, like in the movie, and he breaks it up. And then more rapists come in, and he's like, oh shit, I gotta shoot more of these guys. Cause he shot one of those guys in the dick.
Yeah.
And
oh, through the dress. I remember that scene. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly. That was supposed to go a different way, by the way. That was an afterthought scene.
Yes,
too.
Indeed. Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
So more guys come on. And their dicks are out. And then he's like, oh, I'm shooting these guys. And then more guys come in. And then, like, the king rapist comes in with, like, a hard-on. And he shoots all of them. It's the fucking craziest
what the
shit.
Fuck, internet? Jesus.
You haven't seen this
no,
shit?
No, I have not seen that
no.
shit.
No.
This is the craziest shit. We're going to watch this right okay. if we...
But speaking of guns, can I please get an actual live rendition of the RoboCop gun?
Oh,
no
yeah.
shit. Oh,
no.
Yeah.
The live RoboCop gun is a Beretta M93R.
I'm talking about also made to look the exact same.
Well, that's the base gun, and it was built off that.
Yeah, it's probably a build kit you can find online for that.
I want that.
No, I do too, because that's a bad
gun. That gun was badass.
Dude, yeah.
If I had all the money, yeah. I would buy that shit in a second.
That gun's badass. All right, so... before we go, I do want to drop some name for our sponsors. We kind of used up our time here, and you know, we don't have any more cum mops for you fucks. I know we made you orgasm.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
with our sexy voices.
Yeah, all sexy voices. Mm. I mean, I'm really sorry you've listened this long, honestly. So number one sponsor, the OG, the longest. We got Amazon.com. Go there for all your sexual needs, or just to order household items. You know, like your aprons or your.
Or some of the
Table
movies
Plus.
That we mentioned. On
or
this episode.
Any of the first two John Wicks, Tombstone, you know, any John Woo movie, any of the Sergio Leone movies, like, they're all on Amazon. I've ordered a bunch,
fuck
trust
yeah.
me. They're all there. Go there, go through GUIpodcast.com, hit the Amazon link.
Want to check out the Boom. Final gunfight scene from Three Amigos? Then
with El Guapo.
With El Guapo?
Yes, El Guapo.
You can get Three Amigos on Amazon.com.
Good call at the end. I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, fist bump on that one. That was good shit. I completely forgot about Three Amigos. That was a ridiculous gunfight. But yeah, so yeah, you go to Amazon.com. It costs you nothing more, but it always it gives us a little bit. A little bit of something. More booze. And our newest one, and one we are very excited about, is TeePublic.com.
TeePublic.
We have, I think we mentioned, what, 15?
Currently 17, but 17, we're going to get
Christ. 19.
Probably 19.
19, 19
in the
fucking
next,
designs.
In the next week, yeah.
That you can get on everything from a t-shirt, long sleeve t-shirt, hoodie, all the way down to a fucking coffee mug and a onesie for your child.
Yep.
Like,
we have onesies.
Everything.
Yeah. If you want a fucking GUI Nights or smack my pitch up or.
I did buy a onesie for a friend of ours. It was the Stanley Excelsior one because every
nice...
child needs a Stanley Excelsior
that's
fucking
true.
Onesie.
That is true.
I'm just saying. It's fucking Stan Lee. Like, if there's anything else to aspire to, is to be Stan Lee.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, I'm just saying. So, but yeah, go to GUIpodcast.com again. Links, tpublic.com. Boom. Right to our merch store on there. We also do have stuff available at live events for those of you in Richmond, Virginia. We have hats, koozies, and stickers. All available at live events. You cannot get them anywhere else. Please come to our live events. We have a Booze Clues on June 2nd.
June 2nd.
Right after GalaxyCon.
Whoop, whoop.
So GalaxyCon goes from Friday the 31st through June 2nd, which, 3 days of just five panels. We've got a panel Friday, three different ones Saturday, and one Sunday. It's going to be awesome.
We're going to be working that weekend.
We're going to be working that ace.
Yeah.
But right after we get done working that ass at GalaxyCon, we're going right to fucking the dark room in the Hoffmeyer building on Broad Street. near Scott's in Scott's edition and doing a live episode of Booze Clues, the newest addition to the GUI family. Yep. And
it's been so fun so far.
The first exhausted though.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
it's going to be super exhausting. But luckily, the guests that we have set up to be on, the co-investigators, they are going to be nice and so fresh and so clean. So I can just lean on them to do most of the heavy lifting.
And you should.
And I'm honestly just going to nap on stage, I think.
But that needs to be like an alert that goes out. I was like, hey, I'm going to be exhausted. Let you handle
you,
the load.
You can run.
You can run this shit.
You can run this shit.
But no. So come out to that. Again, it's a dark room. They have all the social media stuff. If you're not, you check that out. Come out. It starts at 7. Doors open at 6. Starts at 7 on Sunday, June 2nd. And, that's it, everybody. Go home. Go the fuck home.
GUI.